Weak leadership can even be trickier than toxic leadership because toxic bosses are kind of obvious. Everyone knows what's going on. But weak bosses, they fly under the radar and often they come across as nice, approachable, or even fun. But when the moment comes to advocate for you or to make a decision, take a stand, that's when they magically disappear. Welcome to Coach Me, the podcast for women who want more. More clarity, more confidence, more you. We're Tanu and Catherine, friends, working moms, businesswomen, and real-life coaching buddies.
Each week, we cut the BS and bring you insights, tools, and truth bombs that help you show up stronger at work, at home, and in life. If we can coach each other through the chaos,
we can coach you too.
Welcome back to Coach Me. Today, we're tackling a type of boss almost everyone has worked under at some point. Not the openly toxic ones who shout, micromanage, or belittle, but the weak ones, the bosses who avoid conflict, cannot decide, or say one thing in private and completely opposite in public. And the result is that you feel let down, unsupported, and confused. And it's destabilizing because you can't predict which version of them you'll get from day to day. Now let's ground this in reality. Weak leadership isn't just a personal headache. It is quite widespread. Gallup research shows managers account for 70% of the variance in team engagement. 70. That's huge.
Wow. And the DDI Global Leadership Forecast found that only 40% of leaders rate themselves as effective decision makers. I mean, can you believe that? They surely are not all narcissists then, I guess. And that means indecision is not a rare flaw. It's one of the most common leadership gaps in workplaces worldwide.
Yeah, not to load you up with tons of research, but it seems like it is a widely studied problem. McKinsey's research adds another layer. Poor people management is one of the top three reasons employees quit. Not pay, not workload, it's purely leadership. And it ties in with my mission, with my coaching business. So weak bosses don't just frustrate you, they stall careers, drive turnover, and cost companies millions of dollars, believe it or not.
And it's not just what they cost companies, there's also a human cost, you know? They really take a toll on your confidence, your energy, your trust in the company you work for, and the progression you have ahead of you. You do all that late night working, redoing projects, trying to impress your boss, and they end up being indecisive. And then you stay quiet in meetings because you don't know if they'll back you up, so you start second guessing everything, and especially yourself, instead of really recognizing that the problem is weak leadership. So it's a vicious cycle.
Oh yeah, and it's a tough one. So let's help our listeners put words to this. What does weak leadership even look like, right? How does it show up? It shows up in subtle ways. Like they would say something like, let's wait and see what leadership decides. Or we'll circle back on that later, which usually means never. Or they promise support privately. They're like all in talking about stuff with you, but when it matters publicly or when they're supposed to take a stand, they go silent. And sometimes it's over friendliness also. They're your buddy that you have coffee with, lunch with, but when budgets are being cut or promotions are on the table, suddenly they're not in your corner.
It's quite funny because I feel like some of our listeners might have an aha effect right now and be like, oh yeah, it's not me. My boss is weak. I'm sure there are people amongst you who've been doubting yourselves or thinking like, what is the problem with me? Why can't I get this promotion? Why can't I get backing from my boss? And chances really are that you just have a weak leader. But in my personal experience, it's often to do with conflict avoidance. That's when I spot a weak leader. They avoid the tough conversations, so decisions never really happen. And that creates a bit of a vacuum in the leadership level. I had a boss that literally started avoiding me after they did not end up resolving a conflict that with a colleague I had. So I was the one getting bullied and sabotaged by a colleague, and the other person was just off the hook because my boss was scared.
Yeah, that's the tough thing. It's the conflict avoidance where you think they're just trying to be nice and they think they're just balancing things out and trying to be neutral, but not speaking up whenever there's a conflict between two people and not tackling it, that's weakness. That's not being neutral. And the hardest part is that you just like them for their usual niceness, right? They're not villains. It's hard to villainize someone that's not actively yelling at you or being rude to you or doing something explicitly bad that you can name and put a finger on and say, you know what, this is a boss I hate. Because it's so easy to hate the bosses or not like the bosses that are just plain rude. And the way they express themselves and the energy they bring. But a boss that's polite, talks with kindness, and laughs with you, agrees with you, is so agreeable in a closed room, it's very, very hard to identify that they're not being consistent. So they come across as well-intentioned, but the inconsistency and that conflict avoidance is where the weakness lies. Which means, like, you forgive them, you lower your guard, you keep hoping they'll step up. And that ends up prolonging the cycle, the vicious cycle you end up getting stuck in with them. And I've seen this with clients too. So, one of the clients I was coaching had a boss who avoided every tough call to a point where they actually put it on the client to handle it with a skip level. So, someone that the boss reported to. And my client had to, you know, go and somehow create that kind of visibility for themselves in front of the skip level person, decisions about project scope and even promotions on the team. And they got a lot of flack from senior leadership because the middle manager, their own boss, was not ready to have the tough conversations. And it became this real mess where finger pointing happened and the boss was also pulled up for not talking about these things in advance because the projects were getting delayed. And it just ended up being this whole pile of mess that at the end of the day left a very, very bad taste in my client's mouth. And my client ended up working 60-hour work weeks because she felt she had to compensate. And the problem wasn't her, it was the leadership void. And the funny thing is, throughout the first few coaching sessions, she kept saying, "He's really nice. He's a nice guy. I don't wanna say something bad about him. I don't wanna throw him under the bus. He's just a nice guy." So this whole nice guy facade or nice girl facade, it just gets in the way of really identifying whether the leader is doing their job that they've been put in that position to do or not.
I hear you, and that example sounds very messy. Although I have to say, it would be my instinct as well to do the skip level conversation and go to their boss. But then, if you think about it, their boss is the one who put them probably in that position. And maybe they selected them because they are weak. So the boss's boss basically has nothing to worry about. There's no one coming for them. Because they hired a weak person, it takes a very good leader to manage very good leaders, right? So it takes a very shitty leader to just want to have weak leaders under them so they still are in control.
You brought up a very good point because there's obviously a lot more at play, and it's the culture of weakness, not having boundaries, not being able to push back, not being able to say no, that sometimes senior leadership creates, which helps these kinds of weak bosses thrive. And the minute you get a person that starts pushing back or starts asking the why questions, that person then becomes the problem child of the team. And it's very hard if the boss above your boss, the skip level, has a similar style of leadership to really find your way out of the situation. But in my client's case, thankfully, the skip level person was more receptive to whatever was going on because at the end of the day, it was the clients that were suffering and the project's getting delayed. So it's very hard to argue against bottom line getting impacted.
Cool. Well, let's move into the more practical part. Tanu, do you want to talk us through some real consequences of weak leadership?
Absolutely. The first one that comes to mind is lack of clarity. You just cannot prioritize when decisions keep shifting and they say one thing and then another, and it leads to a lot of wasted effort and frustration. The second thing would be lack of advocacy. So if you don't have someone that would promote your work and talk about everything that you're doing well and advocate for you, it's hard because you're not in those rooms that your leader has access to. So you miss visibility, you miss the sponsorship you could get, and at the end of the day, it all impacts your growth and, your career in that company. The third one that comes to mind is lack of psychological safety. That's such a huge one that impacts cultures everywhere, the micro cultures that are created in companies by leaders within their own little universe. So when you never know if your boss will back you, you start holding back. And when you hold back, you're not showing up with your full potential. And obviously, that impacts productivity. And it's exhausting for you to show up day after day where you don't feel safe psychologically to be able to be yourself fully and express yourself and really shine in the work that you're capable of doing.
Absolutely. That's crazy because I think the psychological toll, especially, is huge. And there is more research. Harvard Business Review research shows that employees who feel unsupported, they are 3.5 times more likely to disengage, the quiet quitting kind of thing. And that's not about effort, it's just about the trust. If you don't feel psychologically safe, then you just limit yourself from giving your best. I can really feel that, how you get drained from going back into a toxic place where it's not so toxic that you feel like you need to leave or something really bad happens in that sense, but it's that creeping in kind of demotivation. Where you just feel like, whatever I do, it won't get recognized, it won't get shared, it won't get acknowledged, it doesn't get me anywhere.
In that mix, if you add a toxic colleague, oh my God, like a weak boss plus a toxic colleague that's out for themselves and just trying to step over everybody else to get whatever aspirations they have for themselves, that becomes a very, very scary mix. And that's what spoils the entire culture of the team. So I often feel that if there's a weak boss, it's like a breeding ground. You know how the fungus grows? So it's like fungus, really. Like you put a weak boss in over a team, and you see these bad behaviors grow like fungus, and it's a breeding ground for toxic work culture.
Okay, we would not want to leave you guys high and dry. So obviously, we're not just coming with the dissection of the problem, we're also coming with the toolkit to remedy and fix your situation, or at least to find a way to thrive anyway. So let's shift gears into solution mode. If you're listening and thinking all of the above, yes, everything you mentioned, fungus included, that's my boss. What can you actually do now? Tanu, again, because you did so well. Do you want to talk our listeners through some of those tried and tested ways to handle a weak boss, please?
Yes, I am the fungus queen here.
You're the numbers girl today.
I am. All right, so I have four strategies we coach clients through. The number one strategy that I always, always tell, even the people that I mentor at work, manage up, guys. Seriously, it's not just a leader or a manager's responsibility to manage down every single person. that's working in a team, you have the responsibility to manage up. Weak bosses struggle with decision making. Don't walk in with, what should we do? Instead, present options. Go to them with, all right, here are three approaches. I recommend option A. Anchor them on something that you've already decided and then make it look like it's their decision, right? So they still feel like boss and you're not trying to step on toes. Just make it easy for them to say yes. Number two is set boundaries. Now, don't let their avoidance become your overtime. Just because they are not solving the problem, you don't have to go into an overdrive with their indecision and create this rework for yourself and silently absorb and just double down on what you're doing and overextend yourself. So just say to them, be more transparent. Say that to meet this deadline, we need clarity by tomorrow. Do you think you'll be able to give me an answer by tomorrow? And show them what the consequences are. Show them that, hey, if we don't have more clarity by tomorrow, we might not be able to meet the project deadline that the client has, and the client has created urgency. So make sure they know the consequence of their silence. The next one is diversify your advocacy. So do not put all your career eggs in just one basket. I know it's sometimes easy to get confined to your work and your day-to-day with that one manager or one leader, but build the mentors and sponsors in other places in the organization. Stick your head out, see what else is going on, who else can be an advocate for you, and make sure that you're nurturing these relationships outside of your own team. And this is going to be the single career insurance step that you can take for yourself. The last one is reframe, right? So a weak boss can actually be a gift in disguise if you know how to play this well. So they force you to develop resilience, self-leadership, and they also give you a clear picture of the kind of leader you don't want to become. So instead of getting stuck in the hamster wheel of trying to fix everything and make the decisions on their behalf and overextend yourself and then get frustrated and burned out, reframe it for yourself. What am I getting out of this, right? How can I benefit from this situation?
I love those, and they're so actionable. I think, the one where you mentioned seek contacts in the wider organization who will then advocate for you. This whole building your network, we should make a whole episode about it. Your network becoming your net worth, something like that. Because I think it's so important to, depends on the size of the organization you work for, obviously, but to really connect with other people, other departments as well. And speak with them rather than just being stuck in silos. It makes work so much more worthwhile and more efficient and effective. But I think the boundaries part is something that really resonates with me because I'm naturally someone, when I see someone else slacking or not doing something, then I will compensate. And I catch myself and I set the boundaries. But it is really something you have to train. And especially with the boss, it can be hard depending on your relationship with them or whether you're new in the team or all the rest of it, whether you really dare being like blocking or being like, we won't be able to do this if you don't give the decision. So I will not continue working on this until I know exactly what to do because I'm wasting my time here. Like these type of conversations, they sometimes take quite a lot of guts, but clarity is everything. When you feel frustrated and you already feel like everything is very muddly and not very clear, the direction from your boss is not very clear. So I think those are definitely the ones, the networking and the boundaries that I feel like I need to take on a little bit more or like watch a little bit more. But yeah, really, really helpful. Thank you. You also coached me as per usual.
No, you make a great point, and you're right. It's hard and it takes guts. Now, going back to the point of building the network that you were saying, obviously, there's coaches like us available to talk about it. But when you have a mentor within the same organization who knows the inner workings of how things go, and you know this mentor can be trusted, you can really run things by them, and that helps you build that intuition as well as the guts that you need, the strength that you need to stand up and build these boundaries.
That is true. And actually, if you don't have a mentor, you could also speak to someone senior in HR. They're often trained for that as well. They're people managers, right? That can also really help getting that little bit more psychological angle or support on how to approach that boss better or how to get more clarity out of them.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because the confidence in HR seems to be dwindling here in the US at least. Maybe in the UK and Europe it's still there, but it's been a very weird sort of environment when it comes to the trust in HR, and that's a completely different topic that could cover an entire episode for us.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't generalize it. I think it's very person by person. Who's my HR person? Who do I trust? Or where do I have had the experience that they are actually a weak HR person? That has happened in the past as well. If someone is very inexperienced or scared of the senior leadership, then, you might also not be successful there. But that's why I'm saying take a senior HR person.
Or in a clique,
Yeah, if
right?
they're in the same friendship group or WhatsApp group or golf class,
Or going
then
to Coldplay concerts.
yeah, exactly. Don't speak to them. If you have a
Yeah.
problem with your CEO and you go to the wrong HR person, you might not have a job. I love that. I think there is definitely a lot of action you can take, and this is really what it is about for us, to empower our audience that even if the situation seems bleak and you feel frustrated, we are here to energize you, to revive you, to give you options and ways out to really take matters into your own hands and motivate yourself again by just trying out different tools and techniques that are tried and tested. So, you can dare doing them. You are not the guinea pigs, dear audience. We've tried and tested all of this.
Absolutely. So remember, weak leadership is real. It's common. A lot of people are going through the situation with weak leaders, and it is costly, whether they realize it or not. But you have to remember that it does not define your trajectory. You have control.
Learn the signs, protect your energy, and stop waiting for them to change or wake up and realize they should be a better leader because they won't.
Because you can't control who leads you, but you can control how you respond. And sometimes that's where real leadership lessons begin. If this resonated, share it with a friend or colleague who's dealing with a wobbly boss. And don't forget to follow us for more weekly coaching conversations. And that's a wrap.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Coach Me. Got a question or something you want us to coach through? Slide into our DMs or drop us a message. We might feature it on the next episode.
And hey, don't forget to hit follow your future self with thank you. Just one more quick note. Everything we share here is based on our own experiences and coaching tools. It's not medical or mental health advice. So if you're struggling or need support, please reach out to a qualified professional. You've got this, and we've got you. See you next time on Coach Me. That's it.